very much.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, hey, I know we've been going a while here, but that's great because, you know, the body, each member is a member in particular, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I want to start in God's Word this morning. Is this on? I want to start in Matthew chapter 2. And I just want to look at a lot of really wonderful records in the Word, and we'll get as far as we can get to basically illustrate just the heart of how Jesus Christ said, for example, that if two or three of you are gathered in my name, then I'm in the midst of you. And we know that it doesn't require a building, it doesn't require a denomination, it doesn't require a mortgage on a huge location, but that to be a church, biblically and in every sense of the word, is that very thing. If two or three of you are gathered together in my name, then I'm in the midst of you. I'm with you. So I want to look at that, and I want to document it, and I think I want to be going through some of this in the weeks ahead, and at least until Donnie gets back, maybe on our Tuesday nights. Regarding the biblical definition of a church and what it really is and what the Bible says about it. So let's look at Matthew chapter 2 to begin with. We're going to start in verse 11. And we're just going to kind of plow through some records here, but they're really wonderful. And just look at the heart and the beauty of how God just worked such great works many times with just a handful of people. Like history-making, landslide-moving, mountain-moving events God did with just a couple of people. Okay? So that's our subject matter today. All right. So Matthew chapter 2, verse 11 says, And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And of course it says there, and we're going to be looking a lot at the word house. The word oikos, which means a building, basically. And we're also going to look at the word church, which is the Greek word ekklesia, which just means a group of people called out. It doesn't mean a building. It doesn't mean a denomination or an organization or anything to that effect. God's biblical definition of a church is a group of people called out for a purpose, plain and simple. So here we are in the house. Many times we'll see the parallel, too, between the church in the house, and the church in the house. Okay? So it's a real fun study. I'm excited about this. So who we talk about here? We three kings of Orient are. Right? Well, actually, this is talking about the Magi. And, you know, I think most of you have learned and have seen even maybe on the Discovery Channel that, you know, it wasn't just three kings that came from the Orient. There was a whole entourage of people that came because it had been handed down in the stars for generations by word of mouth and teaching to these people that Jesus Christ would be born, and it was written in the stars, and that he would be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so God so orchestrated the situation, the brief of it is, that he made it such that these men and their entourage, you know, the kings and their company, traveling on camels or whatever, but there weren't just three of them. They might have just had three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but there weren't just three guys. And they were traveling because they were following his star that God had shown them to follow. And they went, it says in verse 11, when they were come into the house. Okay, so picture the setting. Here's Joseph, Mary, and Jesus. And he's not just an infant, but he is upwards of maybe 2 years old. So they saw the young child. Okay, now, we got a lot of teachings going on here in this one, and I'll try my very best to stay focused on just one thing, because I don't know who knows what in this room. But, you know, you think back to the birth of Jesus Christ. This is not the birth of Jesus Christ. This is maybe 2 years down the road. Okay? So you think back to that great event of when Jesus Christ was born. How many people were present? The greatest event of all history, next to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, was the birth of Jesus Christ. These pivotal moments in history. How many people were at the birth of Jesus Christ? Well, there were a couple of shepherds, and that was about it, besides a whole host of angels up there saying, you know, glory be to God in the highest, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. But there were just a handful of people at that event that God chose to have the honor of being present for this. You suppose some humility, some heart, some confidence, some simplicity towards God had something to do with that? I think God is just so wonderful. Mm-hmm. His sense of humor, too, is amazing. Do you think any of the bigwigs in the church there, actually the temple, not the church, you know, cared two hoots about the birth of Jesus Christ, you know, the Jewish religion? No, because their hearts were hardened, basically, by religion and by, you know, practices of men and doing all the, you know, right things at the right time. Seriously, you know, that's another teaching too. But, you know, the heart of man, like, I love what Alexis shared, I love what Vanessa shared, I love what Elaine shared, I love what everybody shared, because the beauty of the fellowship, the heart of everyone together, you know, young and younger and older adults, I mean, older youth, right? We all have something we bring to the table. And yet at the end of the day, the beginning of the day, and all throughout the day, it is still about looking to God. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the beauty of the church, the little small group that God put together within the house, great things can happen when two of you agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, and it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Jesus Christ said that regarding symphonizing in your prayer. Like, that was something else we talked about 2 weeks ago. Remember? Mm-hmm. We all were very focused in the leaders' fellowship that Wallace and Elaine were going to see their house sold. They only needed one buyer, not 10. Mm-hmm. Alexis only needs one person, buyer for her car, not 10, right? So God knows what we need. So anyway, back to the event here. So in verse 11, they came to the house where the young child was, and they were in a home here, and with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him, and they gave him the gifts and so on. And then God showed them that they, in a dream, they should get the heck out of there, because Herod, meantime, you know, back at the ranch, Herod was planning, because of his jealousy, you know, oh, the king, where's the king that they had inquired about previously? He had all the children from two and under killed because he was afraid politically that he was going to be replaced by the new king, Jesus Christ. You know, so anyway, so that's cool in that record there about how God worked in total unbelievers, the Magi. You know, they weren't Jewish. They weren't of the Judean lot or bloodline. They came from afar. Okay, go over to chapter 8. And again, a great landmark of an event happened, you know, where they came and worshipped the Savior, the Magi, and that star, his star, stood over the place where Jesus Christ and his two parents were. Incredible, because these men believed God. Okay, in Matthew chapter 8, and these are some of my favorite records, and they're duplicated, you know, throughout Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but I really like the way they're just kind of all laid out in Matthew, the beauty of just, here's Jesus Christ, he's just kind of doing his thing, you know. He and a couple of guys are hanging out by the seaside, my favorite place. You know, they go to this guy's house and that guy's house, and, oh, hey, this lady wants you to come to her. All right, come over to our house, and this guy over here. You know, and before you know it, he's just kind of hopping from house to house. Mm-hmm. But the point of it is, it's him and a small group of people. And it's just the beauty of going about your business on a day-to-day thing, not like just a Sunday morning thing, you know, all throughout life, going and moving and seeing the power of God happening. So in Matthew 8, verse 5, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant, or actually literally it's my child, lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and what?
Heal him.
Okay, I will. I'll do that for you. I'll come over to your house. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my child, young child, shall be healed. Mm-hmm. For I get this thing about just speaking it with authority, because I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this guy, go here, and he goes, and to this other guy, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he what?
Marveled.
You know, I always thought about writing a essay called Who Made Jesus Marvel? You know, there's only two places in the Gospels that Jesus was ever wowed by anybody, and this is one of them. And the other one was a woman who was, interestingly enough, too, both these people that he was wowed by, impressed of, they weren't from the Judean religion. Interesting. The other person was the woman who said to him, hey, Lord, you know, the dogs still eat from the crumbs of the master's table. And he's like, wow, you've never seen such faith in Israel. And then he's wowed by this guy. I've not found so great a faith. No, not in Israel. Look down at verse 13. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the self same hour. His child, the young child, was healed in the self same hour. That's pretty incredible. Opens up lots of possibilities, doesn't it? So, and also, I want to look at verses 11 and 12 in the NIV. You have that, Rachel? Can you read that? Because I read it as it sits here in King James, and it bugged me. And so I wanted to know what it really meant a little deeper. And I looked and looked and looked. I spent a good hour on this morning. And the NIV pretty well sums it up.
I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Okay, what does it mean? You know, it sounds a little strange, doesn't it? I think there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, anyway, the essence of it is very simple. Basically, people are going to come from all over, the north, the south, the east, the west. The Gentiles are going to come. God's people are going to come from the far corners of the earth. And yet, he's saying, basically, you know, Israel rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the essence of it here. You know, and if you want any further documentation, you can look up in the Amplified. It says it also. It gives a couple of scripture references that back it up. How, you know, God's just going to go reach right out there and find his people regardless of whether they're from the Jewish bloodline. So Isaiah 49:12, Malachi 1:11, lots of places that back that up. But, you know, the weeping and gnashing of teeth is just a figure of speech that means that the Jews are going to be going, hey, wait a minute, I'm from the Jewish bloodline, and how come I don't get to come? Mm-hmm. It's like, well, you had your chance. You rejected the Savior kind of thing, right? That's all it's saying. That's what it's talking about. Okay, so let's on to the next record. So here in verse 14 it says, and when Jesus, we're back in Matthew 8, when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw, okay, there it is, the word, house, mm-hmm. oikos. He was come into Peter's house, okay, on their travels. He saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word, just like he did with the guy you know, the centurion. Thank you. I started to say Caesarean. Centurion's child. You know, he spoke it, and it happened because the father believed. You know, in the case of a child or a dead person or a demented person, you know, somebody else can believe for him. But typically, you got to believe basically for yourself. So, anyway, he spoke. He healed with his word. He spoke it. And we can do this too. And this is happening at whose house? Peter's mother's house. Yeah. And here we are. We're at Donnie and Patty's house. And some weeks we go to Bob and Suzanne's house. And we go to Greg's house. And we go to Wallace's house. And, you know, these guys are just bouncing from house to house, healing and ministering and giving. At least at this point, the Lord Jesus Christ is, right? Mm-hmm. All right. So then... So they're at the house, and then it says that verse 17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now when Jesus saw the great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. Basically, they went to the other side of the lake because they had too many people come. They could just fit in Peter's mother's house. So now they're going to go outside, and they're going to kind of go to the other side of the lake, and, you know, cool things are happening there. So, let's flip over. We're on more travels. Let's go to chapter 9. You know the record, the first part of Matthew chapter 9. It's short, I guess we can just read it. And he entered, verse 1, into a ship. See, they hung out in ships. They had fellowship in a ship. I like that kind of fellowship. Hung out at the beach, but in small groups. Okay, so he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemes. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk. You know, say it. Mm-hmm. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, turns to him and says, Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine own house. And he arose and departed into his own house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, here we go, we're going on more travels. Mm-hmm. He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, Follow me. And he said, Not on your life. What the heck are you talking about? I'm too busy. No. He said, he followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house. There we are again. Okay, we're in the house. Whose house are we in? We've gone to Matthew's house. Behold, many publicans and sinners. Ooh. Came and sat down with him and his disciples. These guys are just going... Mm-hmm. From house to house, hanging out, and he's teaching, he's sharing, and he goes through, you know, and then people start to gather, and they're outside. I mean, it's like how it was in India, you know. People start looking when you're hanging out the windows, and there's all these people crammed in these houses, and they, you know, people start wanting to know what's going on, so they're drawing a crowd here. So then, you know, Jesus Christ is talking to him in parables, and all right, let's look at verse 18. Well, okay, he's continuing to talk, verse 18, and while he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased, okay, now they're en route to go raise the dead person, just a couple of them, and while they're going, enters the woman with the issue of blood. And this is one of my favorite records of healing in the whole Bible. She had this issue of blood for 12 years. she'd, you know, gone to all the doctors, spent all her money, blah, blah, blah. And she came up behind him, and what'd she do? Yeah, and she said within herself, she declared, she determined, she said within herself, if I but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. So then what happened? And she was, right? And he's like, you touch me. He didn't even initiate it. You know, she did. You know, it's like Alexis, you know, going and she didn't want to have to pay for parking. And, you know, it's like, okay, God, you know, just make it happen for me. God just makes things happen for us when we so determine it and we expect it and we have that attitude. You know, what's your mindset? What do you want? You know, and here we have just a couple guys hanging out, going with Jesus, and all this great stuff's happened. The woman just reaches out. Her mindset was, if I just touch the hem of the holy man, I'll be whole, I'll be healed. You know, there's no healing power in a hem, but there's healing power when we have the faith to see it come to pass. And she knew Jesus Christ, you know, was the man. Okay, so enter back into... going back to the ruler's house, verse 23. So her faith made her whole, he told her in verse 22. Verse 23, when Jesus came into the ruler's house, now here they're at somebody else's house. Here we've got another fellowship happening. And he saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, and, you know, everybody's carrying on, and, you know, she, and he's like, hey, she's not dead. She's just sleeping. You know, and they laughed him to scorn. But when the people, verse 25, were put forth, okay, and I put the unbelievers out of the room. Did you ever have to do that? I thought, shut up, go in the other room, man. Get a focus with people who believe here. Okay? Put those people out of the room that didn't believe, that were laughing at him. It's like, hey, she's dead. I see her. She's dead. He went in, and he took her by the hand. And the maid did what?
Arose.
See, these are the kinds of things, I guess, I don't know why I was reading all this. I was just reading this stuff all night long. I was so into God's Word, not because I'm so, you know, so studious, but just I was just into it. Thinking about Donnie in India and thinking about these fellowships that they do. I mean, this just is how it is in those fellowships and how jealous I am of him that he's there and I'm not there. How exciting. I could have gone if I'd had the mindset to go. But I determined to stay home. But anyway, you know, it's all about just where's your head and heart at with God at the end of the day and the beginning of the morning, right? All right, so anyway, she gets up, two blind men come, and, you know, and it just keeps going and going and going. You know, just... from place to place, from house to house, from fellowship to fellowship. And eventually, you know, Jesus Christ, he gives this authority in chapter 10 to the 12. And he's like, okay, you guys go do this now. And when you, it says in chapter 10, verse 10, it says, or verse 11, whatever city or town you enter, blah, 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 verse 12. And when you come into a house, you know, when you go in somebody's house, salute it. You know, determine, are you, you know, is the blessing of God here? Are these people hungry for the word kind of thing? If not, just shake the dust off your feet and keep moving. But it's all about the house. You get the picture? Okay, so there's a lot more we could look at there. We're not going to go there. I think what we'll do is advance forward to our administration. Jesus Christ was basically setting the precedent for the beauty of just living a lifestyle. Fellowshipping daily with God and your friends and your family and hanging out in the household of God, moving from house to house, healing people, raising the dead, casting out devils. Freely you've received, freely give, he says in that same chapter. So, move forward to the book of Acts. Oh, actually, there is one verse we absolutely have to look at in verse chapter 13 of Matthew, verse 36. Matthew 13:36.
Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field.
Okay. Here you got the situation where he's been teaching the multitude, And he's teaching him in parables. And he teaches him about the good, you know, sowing the seed in the ground, a good seed fell out, you know, what, this seed fell here, this seed fell there, you know, the wayside, blah, blah, blah. Four different places that the seed fell, and one of the places was in the good ground. But he doesn't explain, it's a parable. So then what happens is he sends the multitude away. And in my opinion, that verse pretty much
encapsulates.
It doesn't capsize. Encapsulates. Okay, guess that word. Don't forget that lyric. It represents the beauty of the heart of the fellowship, okay? It's like, you know, you want to go like get milk toast kind of stuff, fine. But if you really want the heart of it, come into the house and let's really get into what the Word of God says. I mean, that's what he's saying. Okay, now I'm going to explain it to you guys. Here's what the seed by the wayside was. Here's the seed on stony ground. Here's the seed here. Here's the seed there. I'm going to explain it to you guys because you care. And you should read that chapter because it's really cool. It explains the heart of the men that were his disciples, his apostles, who really did want, you know, they were his entourage. You know, they're just, here's these 12 guys. Okay, so in the New Testament, in Acts chapter 2, the first and primary precedent is set after they've all been prepared for this kind of thing. At the end of the day of Pentecost, after Peter had delivered this incredible message, he pretty much lays it out. God is showing him what to say, and he teaches them about, you know, he gives them the whole spiel, and about 3,000 souls are won, and then it's like, you know, if you look at some of these words in the Greek, they kind of split up into small groups, but we're not going to look at all the detail of that. But what they did was what's written in verses 41, 42, and following down to verse 47. You know, they continued in the Word and the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking bread and prayers and all these things daily in the temple and from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. You know, they didn't, more and more they were going from house to house and sharing in the fellowships, but in the temple, they weren't going to church. You know, they weren't a part of the Judean thing anymore. They were going there to witness. They'd hang out in these courts, you know, the outer courts and stuff, and they'd go there for the, I mean, there was the court of the Gentiles, the court of the, you know, the Jews, and then, of course, the inner sanctum, the holy place. But they would go there, like in chapter 3, the man at the beautiful, the gate temple, beautiful gate at the temple, was healed by Peter and John. You know, the layman's laying there. They're hanging out. They're at this place where the people go because everybody, you know, the marketplace is there. Everything and everybody. But they, you know, more and more they were getting away from, you know, the whole hours of prayer thing, although they did this, and going back. Chapter 4 illustrates it. Let's look at that one. They were going back to their own company. But as you're turning to chapter 4, I'll read verse 47. The real heart of the book of Acts begins here, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. That's Acts 2:47. God was adding people to the church. What is the church? Okay. You know, there's many, many, many places where the word church is used. It's the word ecclesia, and it just means that group that God had called out. Okay, now we're in a different realm. It's not just about Jew. Gentile hasn't entered the picture yet, but will. But it is about the church, and they don't even know what they've got yet, but they know it's exciting, and they're moving from house to house with it. Okay, so what happens, you got the great healing in chapter 3 of, you know, Peter and John with the lame man. And they get called on the carpet, and it's like, hey, you know, we just did what God was working our hearts to do. And so, you know, they get in some trouble, and you know, they threaten them. They beat them, and then they send them on their way. But they realize there's nothing they can really do to them. And what happens is they got agitated. You see this all through the book of Acts. The Judean religious people go to whoever the governor or whatever is of the Roman Empire and says, "These guys are going contrary to our law," and they stir up all this trouble, and they try to get them thrown in jail. And sometimes whoever the Roman leader is will go, okay, we'll, roll their eyes. Here they are again, the Jews whining about this group of the way, So anyways, they said in verse 20 of chapter 4, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. They're just doing what God has inspired them to do. So when we had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all glorified God for that which was done. And a lot of times the Roman leader was more empathetic towards their situation than the religious people, the Jews. You got to keep it straight. Who's who? When you read through the book of Acts, you got to know who's the government, and who's the church, and who's the believers, and who are we talking about here? Who, what, when, where, how, and why? You got to ask yourself those questions every time you read the word. Where are we? I look up back here on my map. I must have looked 1,000 times this morning at the map because I wanted to see, because I studied all the stuff throughout the book of Acts with this word, for ecclesia and oikos, house. So anyway, what they did was, it's so beautiful, after, verse 22, the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had showed. The man at the temple gate, beautiful, that they healed. He'd been lame for 40 years. And they just spoke to him and said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up. You're healed." It's just like this one here said earlier. That's right. That's all you got to do. Simple. Speak to it. Say it. And so, what did they do when they got let loose from these guys trying to throw them in jail? Verse 23, being let go, here's what they did. They went back to who?
Their own company.
They reported all that the chief priests had done, and so on and so forth. And they lifted up their voice and said, "Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. For by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? And the kings of the earth they're praying and they're quoting verses from the Old Testament. And basically they're strengthening each other back with their own company. And so more and more and more you see the beauty of these home fellowships growing throughout the book of Acts like this. Mm-hmm. Just sit and read it. Look for the word house. Okay, I think what I'll do is I'll throw these out and I'll have somebody read the verse. We're going to read all the places where it says the church which was in his house. Mm-hmm. We can do that really quickly. And you'll see how more and more, this was the model of how God wanted it done. It's how it was done in the book of Acts. Why? Because that's where you get your needs met. That's where you can get intimate. That's where you can know each other. That's where you can hear the manifestations. That's where you can eat together, break bread together, fellowship daily, pray together, lock in, symphonizing and harmonizing your believing that Wallace and Elaine are going to sell their house next week and buy cracky, they got a person the next day. That blows my mind. Doesn't that amaze you?
Yes.
I do. I'm in the real estate business. Yes. Nothing is selling now.
That's right.
There's so much inventory. It's insane. And that they got a buyer is amazing.
That's right.
It is. It's truly amazing. Okay. So they went to their own company. Lots of records, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 12, 16, 17, 18. All these are places where you see the beauty of these home fellowships. Well, let's go to Romans 16. I think that is a good place to show you where it literally says it a whole bunch of times about the church and the home. This is the salutation at the end where, Paul had written by revelation to the guys in Rome, the fellowships in Rome. Go with me to Acts 19. And
okay.
Would you read, please? You don't all have to go there. But this This is the word for church in Acts 19.
Okay.
And what it is a union meeting where they're worshiping, great is Diana the Ephesians, great is Diana the Ephesians. Who, you know, they make these silver amulets, these statues, these idols to the goddess Diana, and it's called a church.
Hmm.
All right, and but the Greek word is ekklesia, but in the English you only see the word assembly. Was it verse 23? Here it is, verse 32.
Some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused, and the more part knew not wherefore they were come together.
And it's hard to read, that's funny. That word assembly, ladies, why are we here?
Oh, everybody's just hooting and hollering, but they don't even I forgot what we came for. And that's the word for church.
Right.
Tongue in cheek. I like that. That's
right.
Funny.
Yeah, funny.
Assembly. It's ecclesia. That's what that word is. All right. All right. So there you go. And that word is used a couple times, but most of the time it's translated. Assembly is used a couple times. Most of the time it's translated church. Okay. So back in Romans 16, we're going to just start in verse 1. This is his salutation. He's saying bye-bye to the churches. In Rome. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as become a saints, and that ye assist her in whatever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer, not a sucker. She's no sucker, she's a succorer of many, and of myself also, a nurturer, someone who gave love and care, mm-hmm. and refreshed the saints.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers, fellow laborers in Christ Jesus. Greet them who have for my life laid down their necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. When we think of churches, think about these small groups, these small home groups. Mm-hmm. That's what he's referring to. Look at how many individuals he's pointing out here. Okay, this is building towards something. Likewise, greet the church that is in their what?
House.
And whose house are we talking about? Go back to the closest associated noun, which is Priscilla and Aquila. Okay, greet them. They've laid their lives down for me. They're awesome, wonderful fellowship coordinators. And the whole church, the fellowship that's in their house. Salute my well-beloved, whatever his name is, mm-hmm. Appen something, mm-hmm. who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Adronicus and Junia, my kinsmen, and my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and all these other people. Verse 10, salute them which are of Aristobulus' household, mm-hmm. his fellowship, the fellowship that's in his home also, mm-hmm. and also the household of Narcissus, and so on and so forth. Salute Rufus and all these other people it's mentioning here, all the saints which are with them. Verse 15, verse 16, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
It just makes it so personal,
mm-hmm.
so individual, mm-hmm. so intimate.
Mm-hmm.
I can pray for each and every one of you, and you can each pray for each other and for me, and you're not a sea and a mass of faces that are nameless.
Mm-hmm.
This is intimate and personal, and we share in the mystery. There's so many things in the Word about this. In Timothy, it calls it the pillar and ground of the truth. That's what the home fellowship is all about. The church, the place, the ecclesia, the called out where God has chosen to intimately share in a household and in a family. It's so beautiful. Let's look at another one. So many great places. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Look at verse 15. It says, all right, again, his salutation to the Corinthian church, which, by the way, that was the first place that Aquila and Priscilla ran a fellowship, in Corinth. They started the fellowship in Corinth. And then they moved on to Ephesus and did the fellowship there. They left the people off, you know, just left them in Corinth, and they went on with Paul and his travels to Ephesus, and then Paul decided by God, by revelation, they were going to stay in Ephesus. That's how they built the church back then. Mm-hmm. They moved about, just like Jesus Christ, from house to house, these small home churches. Okay, verse 15, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanus, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Okay, here we have the house of Stephanus, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanus and Fortunatus and Achaeus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you. Again, home fellowship. At this time that this was written, they had been in Corinth, and now they're in Ephesus. And they had been their leadership there. Salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their what?
House.
The church that is in their house now in Ephesus. Mm-hmm. Pretty cool, huh? Mm-hmm. If you looked at Philippians chapter 4, verse 22, you don't have to go there, but that's just another example if you want to look it up. It refers to Caesar's household. You know, the church in that guy's house. Colossians 4:15 refers to another one. I guess we better look at that because I didn't write down what it said. It says, salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphis, and the church which is in his what?
House.
Church which is in his house. Mm-hmm. Okay, I didn't make this up. Mm-hmm. See, what we're doing here, this is not like somebody's, you know, great idea. This was God's idea. And I think we get challenged with that occasionally. I know sometimes I feel, I get asked all the time, really, about people going to churches. I mean, there's nothing wrong with going to churches as far as those buildings and places and stuff go. But, I mean, the real heart of God's heartbeat moved in the small group churches in the home, in the household. Mm-hmm. You know, and I applaud the churches that are out there that are doing the small groups more and more, because that's the real heart of it, because it's intimate. You can get personal with the people as well as with God, because sometimes we just need each other that way. You know, be especially good to the household of faith. Philemon 2 is another one. Charlie,
what?
Don't laugh at me. I love Charlie's laughter. We have Charlie and Karen Wallace
Philemon
here with us.
Two.
So happy to have them. We haven't seen you for a while. Philemon 2. You got, somebody got it?
Yep.
Who's got it?
Which one?
Verse 2. Philemon, verse 2.
And to our beloved Apphia and our Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house.
I'd like to have a name like Archippus. It sounds like chipmunk. I got the church of Archippus in my house. So, you know, and these are just a few of them. If you just read the book of Acts now with the idea of this. Okay, it says in Acts 17:11 or somewhere, I believe, that they were still zealous for the law. You know, they still did a little water baptism in there for a while, even though Jesus Christ said, you know, it's not going to be necessary anymore. You know, Acts chapter 1, he told them right off the bat, you know, what's it say? Truly, John baptized with water, but soon you're going to be baptized in Holy Spirit. It's okay if you go get wet a few times, but it's not necessary. You know, you're going to be baptized in Pneuma Hagion. If you go through the book of Acts and just read with the idea, okay, they're moving further and further away from the temple all the time because they're realizing it's not about, you know, being a part of the Judean religion. And then enters Paul on the scene. Oh my gosh, then things really start rocking and rolling because he's the one who takes it to the Gentiles. And he's like, the heck with you, you know, I go to the Gentiles, because the Jews were so pious. He would go on all his travels and he would share the word with anybody and everybody, no matter where they were. And then he'd go in and try to teach in the Jewish synagogues as well. And half the time they didn't receive him at all. So he's just like, I go to the Gentiles, forget you. And then like a few verses later, you see him teaching in another place in a synagogue. Because he just had such a great heart for God. He just wanted to reach, you know, his people. And so more and more you see the beauty of these home fellowships growing throughout the book of Acts like this. And you'll see how this was the model of how God wanted it done.